Make a quick note here, 1802. So I, you know, in your book, you talk, this is my supernova notebook. In your book, you talked about, I got a really good idea out of the book. And that was.
This one?
That I really think was really good. It's having our team meet with the team of an estate attorney's office.
Right.
Estate planning attorney, right? So I was talking to, a friend of my guy I know, his father is actually a client. So, I'm like, listen, why don't we get together and do a social distancing happy hour between our team, and he has a group of about, he said, 10 or 11 people in his office. Okay. And they do different things. So, we're setting that up. Hopefully we'll be able to do that between now and the end of the year. If not, it'll happen, you know, in January. But I thought that that was, you know, we're not asking for anything. We're simply saying, this is what we do. And you tell us what you do. And I thought about even going as far as preparing a PowerPoint that I can share over Zoom with different professionals like CPAs and estate planning attorneys, you know, just kind of spell out the model. And I can do one of those a week, just catch up with somebody and, you know, get 15, 20 minutes with them. And I think I feel pretty strong that that will really go a long way with, growing the book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I'm glad that you plucked that idea. That's basically taking somebody that's a COI and getting them comfortable with you and your team and your team's capabilities. So, you want to find out about them and their capabilities, but now you get a chance to describe, how you work with people in your concierge practice. And that's where that VIPSA script comes in, the personal introductions process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me explain how our introductions process works. Okay?
Maybe okay. You're right on the money. All right. Yeah. So that VIPSA, VIPSA is a good, I really went through it in detail.
Okay.
You go back and look at
that book for a long time. You'll highlight things, write things in the margin. It's kind of like a guidebook for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So. Peggy says she's trying to get in the meeting.
Here we go. I got Michael in, and let's see.
I got a phone.
Let's see. Let me get the rest.
Curtis, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you.
Okay. I had to call in for some reason. My phone wouldn't log into Zoom. It said the server's out. So.
Oh, okay.
I tried like four times. So I'm just calling it.
All right. Well, I might try again, but we're all set. Because I wanted you to actually see this, the demo of this forecasting tool, which would be quite helpful for you.
Okay.
Do you want to try one more time? See if you can get in?
I'll try.
Okay. I'll
try one on the phone. I'll see if it'll... I've even resent the link to myself.
Okay.
I'll try one more time. I don't know why. It's saying Safari cannot open the page because it could not connect to the server.
Huh.
I have no idea. I'm at 4 bars. I don't know what exactly that means.
Okay. Well, the 4
bars.
I
can do it on Morgan Stanley. I don't have a video camera, but I'll run it through Morgan Stanley. Hang on.
Okay. Will you be able to see anything?
I should be able to.
Okay.
Yeah, because we have Zoom here. They don't like for us to do that, but I'll do it that way.
Okay. Hello, Gail.
Hello, Curtis.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm trying to make it work. I have visuals on my phone, and I can see you up on the screen. I don't know.
Okay, good.
It's working.
All right. Let's see. We just connected.
I can see you now.
You can see me now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So before I get started, what I want to do is I want to take you all through this forecasting tool. I hope you all are well. Before I do that, let me find out if there's any thing that's on your mind that you think I need to talk about or cover, and we'll do that, and then we'll get right into the forecasting tool. Let's start with you, Michael. You got any questions or anything that's on your mind in terms of your area?
I do, but I think it's a question better suited for Cindy. I don't know if you'd be able to answer that for me, but it's regarding the butlers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll get together with her after this call. I'll send her an email.
Okay, very good. And how about you, Peggy? Well, you're still connecting to audio.
Well, I can't connect through the computer. I don't have that set up.
Okay. That's okay.
We're doing okay. I don't really think I have a lot of questions. Things are starting to come together with the meetings and things like that. We went live this week, so
okay. Good.
I think that we're moving in the right direction.
Good, good. Gail, how about you?
My question was with the supernova scheduler. I already spent some time with Cindy today.
Yes.
And okay. I guess I'll probably chat with her after you, Michael.
Okay. All right. All right. Chuck, anything?
No. I talked to you a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
I got Michael the book, so.
Okay.
He said he's going to read it overnight.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay.
You get 20 points for that one, Michael. All right. Well, look, let's let me go into this shared screen mode and see if I can pull up the forecasting tool so everybody can take a look at it. That's what I want to cover today.
Okay.
All right. Let's see here. Let's see. Okay, let me. Okay, let me know if you can see the screen that shows sales forecast tool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, you can. Okay, good. All right, let's play with this for a moment. And I'm going to go in and put in team members, Chuck. And then we have Gail. And these will just be the team members that are responsible for production. Now, we don't have to be exact on this today. You guys can get exact later. Chuck, why don't you tell me what your total annualized production is?
It is, let's see.
You don't have to be exact.
Okay. Give it 350.
Okay. And Peggy.
Mine's at 280 right now.
And Gail.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. I'm going to put you down for 50,000. And Chuck and Peggy, would you say your payout's about 40%?
More like 35.
35?
30, 33, actually.
Yeah, 33.
Can't get this thing exact, but works better if you have a mouse. And let's say that Gail has maybe she's at 25. Okay. So this has your total annualized production. I put in your respective payouts, you know, and I can change them. I can like go to, you know, I'll just go to 35 just as an example. And then this will show you your compensation. And this breaks down your compensation on a 35% payout for each of you. Peggy, this shows the equity split.
Right.
Among team members. And this is how you are billing yourself out based on compensation. And so the optics can change if I use based on production credits. So if I looked at comp, you're billing yourself out at $61 an hour. Chuck, and if I looked at your billable hours over your production credits, it's about $175 an hour. Peggy, 48 and 140. Gail, 6. And 25. Okay. So let's use the far right column. Okay. So what this is designed to tell you is that your time is more valuable than $175 an hour. You need to get your time up to, you know, $500 an hour. Okay. Now, I'm going to go down and let's look at, and down at the bottom, it's going to have the total comp that the team brings in. And as you can see, based on the equity split, it's 100%. And, on average, the team is working at a rate of $113 an hour. Okay. Now you're looking at that and you're saying to yourself, holy smokes, I think my time, my knowledge, and my effort is much more valuable than that. That's the first thing that's going to come to your mind. And I do this on a 48 production week, given that you're going to maybe take 2 weeks of vacation. Then I want to look at your annual growth rate. So if we grow your business at 16% per team member, you're going to add $108,000 in incremental production, and the total team is now at 788 versus the 688 the previous year. Now, if we look at that baseline and we start growing at 25%, well, let me maybe drop it down to 20. Okay. And let's say that, so I look at that and I say you're adding for the second year, 156,000. The third year, you're adding 236. The fourth year, you're adding 295 off your baseline. And by the fifth year, your incremental growth in production is $369,000. And now the team is doing a total of $1.8 million if you grow at 25% a year in years 3, 4, and 5. Now, I can say, well, you can work with this. You can say, well, what if we only grow 20%? Okay. Let's leave that at 21. Then you're forecasting your business out 5 years and you're saying your team wants to do $1.6 million. Okay. And so what you're doing is you're looking at the quantitative aspect of what these numbers look like. And then you've got to go into the qualitative aspects on what are we doing to make that happen? Streamlining our business, getting COIs, being better organized, developing a concierge practice, delivering a better service capability, working all of the different, you know, client acquisition methodologies, okay, in order to get there. Now let's look at your average velocity rate on assets. And let's say that you're doing a 0.9 and goes to 0.80 thereafter, okay? Which is at a 0.9 velocity rate, in order to do $788,000 in business up here, you're going to have $87 million in assets in order to do that. In year two, if you're going to try to get to 944, almost a million, you're going to have to, at a 0.8 velocity rate, you're going to need $118 million in assets. Okay? If you're doing a lot of low velocity business that's only worth 50 basis points, you're going to need $188 million in assets. Okay? Just to play around. So you can go back and forth as you begin to forecast your growth. Okay? And if you're going to come up and hit 1.6 million at a velocity rate of 0.8, you're going to need $205 million in assets in order to get there. All right. Now I want to look at your households. Chuck, Peggy, Gail. Concierge practice. We're working on right-sizing the book. We're dealing with 85 of the very best people that we can have. And the total number of accounts is static. We're using Stair Step to the Stars. Remember what that is? That's yep. You're adding clients, but you're also right-sizing the book so you never have more than 85 relationships. Now, your number could be 90, it could be 100, but there should be no more than 100 relationships per advisor. So I have this right now, a total number of accounts at 255. So the average assets per account is 343. By the second year, to do the kind of business you want to do, you got to target people with at least 740,000 dollars, 750. That's where those numbers come from. So if you're going to start asking for 750, then that's where it shows up. The second year, because I put that velocity rate, or your asset levels down, you know, it's like $500,000 on a blended basis. 600, 800. Okay. That can still get you to your 205. I think that you need to get to a point where all your relationships have at least $1 million in assets. Okay. So we start to, and those are the average assets per account. Now the average revenue is calculated at 3 million, jumps to 3.7, jumps to 4, jumps to 5, jumps to 6. So your minimum acceptable asset threshold is to grow assets that are at least 25% greater than what you had. So if it grows like that, it's going to be 429, jumps to 926, 693, 831, up to 1 million. That's your goal for 5 years. Now you can change your goal. So that's the minimum asset threshold per account relationship. Now, I'm going to show you this. So on a asset basis, the assets needed to generate and make your team production goals, you're going to be growing at a compounded annual growth rate over a 5-year time frame of 23.71%. So you ask yourself a fundamental question. If I were a company, do I want to invest in a company that's growing at 23.7% a year? Now, I can hover this and show you what that looks like. So that's where that 87 goes. That's where you jump up to 188, 141, 169, up to 205 million in total assets by year 5. So it's saying the same thing that was on the other page. It's showing you the same thing that's up here. It's just showing you the peaks and valleys of your asset growth. Okay. Now, questions so far? You following me?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to go to production credits. Now this is showing that your production credits are growing, at about your total team production is growing at 20% on a compounded annual growth rate. That's production. Okay. To get to 1.6 million by year 5. So if I hovered over that, that's your 788, your 944, your 1.1 million, your 1.3 million, and your 1.6 million. Okay. Now the other thing I can do here is we'll look at your asset thresholds. Remember your assets are now growing at 23.71% on a compounded annual growth rate. This is what you have in year 1, year 2, year 3, year 4, and year 5. Okay. That is the minimum acceptable asset threshold per account relationship. So if you want to improve your growth, improve your revenue, then you have to target clients that have more substantial assets. And that's going to raise your billable hours. So you're not billing yourself out at $100 an hour. Okay. Now, take a look at, so you can hover that, and these are the same numbers, you know, year one all the way to year five. So what I want you to think about here, now let's look at the revenue threshold. Okay. Now, each household has got to deliver a certain amount of revenue to have value. Okay, in year one, they got to deliver 3,800. In year two, they got to deliver 4,006. Year three, 5.5. Year four, 6,648. In year five, $8,000. So if you have households that can't quite deliver that kind of revenue, you've got to start to question the value of those accounts versus your value and your time. So now you go back to the 80-20 rule. Look at the top 20% of your book. That gives you 80% of your revenue. Take those top 20 and divide it by the number of clients they represent, and that's going to give you your target, your minimum target. But if you're trying to get to, you know, as we said earlier, if we're trying to get to 1.6 million, then, you know, you got to look at the changes that you're willing to make. So now you got to set your goals. You got to come together as a team, and you got to ask yourself, you know, what kind of money do I really want to be making? And you got to be paying attention. You can't just go out there, work, and say, wow, man, I put in a full day. I'm tired. You got to be thinking, what kind of value did you get for the time and effort that you put in? Are your returns diminishing or are they growing? Okay. All right. Questions on this? Let me go back to the original. So you can see how you can forecast your growth. And also, as your numbers improve, your firm is going to give you a higher payout. So what if I were to take this number here and move you, Chuck, to 600? And I'm going to move Peggy, just hypothetically, to 500. And Gail.
You got me at 6 million, Kurt.
Oops. 2 million zero.
That would be nice.
Why not? What the heck? And, Gail, I'm going to take you to, 250. Okay. Look at the total team production now. It's 1.3 million. I'm going to move your payout to probably 45%. 40. Maybe 34. It's all hypothetical. Now look what happens. Compensation. Yeah. Jumps to 200, Peggy.
Yep.
The equity split is 44-37-19. Your billable hours are 300, 250, 125. Okay. Then I go down and I look at, I'll leave these threshold numbers on your annual growth rate. You're now growing. If you grew at 16% after the first year, you're adding 216 in incremental production, then adding 310, adding 371, 445. Now your numbers are at 3.2 million after 5 years. Okay. And you're going to need $407 million in assets as a team to reach that threshold. Okay. And if when teams come together and they really are dynamic and each team member is accountable for results, you can reach those kinds of numbers. Now, what does that mean? That means that every account you bring in is capable of generating $6,000 to seven to eight to 10,000, upwards of $12,000 per relationship. That means thinking big, looking at targets, getting COIs that can deliver those kind of relationships. Okay. Questions about this? It's a 5-year forecast. And I was able to do your 5-year forecast in a matter of minutes. And you can play around. You can do what-if scenarios. Well, what if we only grew by this? What if our velocity rate was only was a 0.7. Okay. You can play around with this to figure this out. Okay. Any questions, any comments? Chuck?
Yeah, I did this by hand over the weekend. I could have used this Saturday.
No, I know how you feel. I'm Michael, man, and I do this in a couple minutes.
Right, but yes, that's my only comment.
Okay.
Can we use this tool?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, you gotta get access to it on the Supernova website.
Okay. Yeah, because that would be great to play around with.
I actually created this myself.
Mm. Nice.
So I'm always dealing with teams, and they don't know how to, you know, kind of forecast future growth. And to do it by hand, to do all of this, this could take you 8 hours. And then once you've finished, then you say, well, I don't think I like that scenario. And then you got to change it again. And then that's going to take you some more time.
So Curtis, quick question.
Yeah.
On the, Supernova sign up, do we just put in our profile and it comes up, or how do we get in?
Let's see. It's the member site, and, you know, all Supernova folks, should be members and have access to the member site. And that's okay. Where this tool is found. And if you can't find it, then you need to, send an email to Cindy and get access.
All right. So I'm creating a profile I don't, do we have profiles already or no? I would say no, right?
Okay.
What week was it when you sent this out?
Are you talking about me?
Yes.
I didn't send it out.
No, I mean, I thought you were talking about the link for us to sign up.
Oh.
If you go to the site, the website will get you there.
Yeah. So I don't normally, I don't fiddle around with the site much at all. You know, I contribute content, but that's about it.
Okay.
Cindy handles all that stuff. Okay. So, you know, I think that what's interesting, if you're trying to get to 3 million, look at your minimum acceptable accounts. You know, they jump from, I'm now only asking for 800,000, 850, to asking for 1.8. Up to almost $2 million is my average relationships. So it starts to grow. That's meaningful. So it's all numbers. I'm going to give you a basic analogy. When I started at Merrill Lynch, we had this thing called the Ready Asset Account. Clients could go in for $5,000. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when they bought securities, we debited their ready asset account. And they probably averaged 20,000. Then we came out with the cash management account. The minimum was 20,000. Within 2 years, 3 years at the most, the average assets in a ready asset in the cash management account was now 275,000. And that's kind of what we started asking for, see? And what it was is it took a firm's mandate for us to get up enough courage to start to ask for bigger money. So now, without a firm mandate, I'm trying to get you to do this on your own. If you came into the business and the firm said, I'm sorry, but the only accounts that you could open must have $1 million. Then everybody you talk to, you're going to say, I work with clients and the minimum acceptable level of assets, our threshold is $1 million. Would that be a problem? If it is, then you move on. If it isn't, you keep going. Okay. So this is helping you get into the mindset of thinking bigger, getting larger, having the confidence. Now, what's going to help you with your confidence is you now have a concierge practice. Okay? And that's how that should work. Peggy, questions?
No, it's I like it. It's interesting. I like the idea of it, and to move forward and get bigger accounts.
Right.
It'd be a great way to go.
So now, does all this stuff we've been talking about full circle start to make better sense and come together for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right. Gail, what are you thinking here?
I'm thinking I got to do a lot of prospecting.
Well, Gail, how do we prospect? COIs, the 90-day free look. You know, that's what we do, right? Centers of influence. Using the VIPSA referral model, using the enthusiastically endorsed model. That's how we do that. That's how you work it. Get personal introductions. That's how you work it. Okay. I told you the story where had a female FA I'm working with. I said, you know, you got to get centers of influence. You got to get six. So she went, got this guy at the chamber. And it happened to be an African-American chamber. And she got to the president. She joined. And she asked him to make personal introductions of the 10 most affluent individuals within the chamber. He did that. Not only did he do that, he has a radio show with a variety of topics, and one of the topics was on wealth management, and she led the discussion of that topic. So there's a lot of ways to skin the cat in this business, but you got to be thinking about the engine that really drives your performance. Your planning base, 12-4-2, 1 hour response to problems, 24-hour resolution, planning, plan implementation, intergenerational planning. Do you want to bill yourself out at $125 an hour? You want to bill yourself out at $300 or $500 an hour? Where do you want this to go? That's up to you. Okay. Any other questions? Michael, how does this resonate with you? You're on the sidelines, but what do you see?
I see the billable hours. I'd love to charge somebody that much for my production.
For your services.
For my service, exactly. So, yeah.
Well, if your team grows and gets to this level, then maybe they would include you in some of the incremental revenue. Mm-hmm. So your job then is to help them get here. Because it's going to be meaningful for you. So now we got a team that's not pulling against each other, but a team that's rooting for each other, pulling together. Okay. Now, how are we doing on the business plan?
It's coming along. I think the forecasting was the biggest challenge.
Okay.
But I think that, you know, you kind of helped me tweak the vision statement. So okay. I'll share that with the team. And, it's definitely moving along. And it's, you know, this forecasting tool really just kind of got it close to completion.
Okay. Good. Good. Okay. Any concepts on client acquisition and supernova that you want to cover in the time that remains? I was devoting this time primarily to the forecasting tool and capabilities.
You know, I look forward to playing with this because I think there's some great information in there, and it's so much better than trying to do them on Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah, I think that's true. And also, Peggy, what you're doing is you're not just looking at the numbers, but you're thinking qualitatively. What changes do I need to make in order to make these quantitative numbers a reality? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing.
Okay.
Okay. let's see. You know, and so the acquisition model, and we've covered some of this, is looking at 964221, looking at those concepts. I'm going to take this down and stop the share for a moment. Okay. And, you know, Morgan Stanley had some specific things they wanted me to do, you know, with you. They wanted me to give you all 7 hours of coaching. And I think I've done that, and a little more. And they want you to have a business plan with initiatives. So we want to get to a point where this team has its daily huddles, 10 minutes in the morning, a recap in the afternoon, and then once a week with each team member reporting on their progress, what was done, how it was done, what was happening. You got to get that down to, you got to get it honed down like a well-oiled machine. When we look at the acquisition model overview, offering the 90-day free look for prospects, talking about the COIs, your four-member mastermind group, okay? I would say if you do that and work BIPSA, that's enough for your team to work with right now. 90-day free look, 6 COIs per team member. And the leader of the team, you've got to hold people accountable. You know, there's a specific time. Do you have your 6 COIs? Okay. You know, and I'm not looking for the guy that's, well, of course, I shouldn't say that. You know, the guy with the food truck might know more, or CEOs and executives and lawyers than anybody. So I was saying, don't go for the food truck guy, but the food truck guy, you know, may have some influence out there in terms of where he goes and who he sees. All right. And then asking for the introduction question at every in-person meeting. Okay. And then, of course, you're dealing with the niche markets, which we've identified. That's all up through Chapter 9. Chapter 11 is really moving forward, asking for introductions, when you ask for introductions. And then in 11 is all focused on leadership. So let me spend a few minutes talking about that. And where there's really failure points, when you haven't segmented, that's number one. Number two, when you haven't set up and followed through with your monthly client contact, that means that you said you have a concierge practice, but you really don't. You're faking it. You have a failure to ask for personal introductions, failure to develop your centers of influence, failure to create a mastermind group, failure to schedule time for prospecting, failure to articulate the Supernova service model with enthusiasm. That's all in your notebook on page 94. The game board. Coming together, looking at your goals for the week, broken down by person. That's on page 95. Okay. Updating your folders. It's got everything in there in terms of the game board. So once a week, the VP of planning, okay, which is Michael, how many plans did we get done last week? Okay, that's rhetorical. Tell me. Go ahead. How many plans did we get done?
I want to say about 12 to 15 plans.
You got 12 to 15 financial plans done?
Yeah. Hey, well, so I'm counting those that I'm actively working on as well. So
that's pretty good. Example,
yeah, I may have initiated contact, and clients are filling me in with bits of information every day. So,
okay.
Yeah, Curtis, we hit it pretty hard, Mike and I last week. So,
I'm
impressed.
We're rolling.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
The VP of implementation. Who's our VP of implementation?
That would be me.
Okay, Peggy, how are we doing implementing the things that are coming out of these plans?
Well, since the plans are just getting done, we're starting to roll with that in between the topics that we're talking about and going to start working with the plans on getting them rolling and bringing in some newer business on the insurance side, the estate planning, all of that kind of stuff is what I'm looking forward to working with.
So what I don't want anybody on the team to do is feel offended when the VP of leadership comes to you and says, okay, how are we doing on our implementing our planning process through the 24-month calendar? You gotta be free to speak to that. Okay. Who's the VP of brand management?
That would be me.
Okay. So how's our schedule and how's
that's Michael. Michael does
that's Michael.
Yeah,
okay. Michael, you're doing the schedule, you're doing the scoreboard, you're keeping track of how the team is doing. They're giving you the numbers. Now, for a while, look, you're not scaled up yet. Don't be embarrassed. If it's a zero, put down a zero.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Michael, you should be driving that, asking the team members with the scoreboard how they're doing.
All right, then, Curtis, then that would be me then, because I have I have the game board.
Okay, good.
So, and we're going to have our first official game board meeting on Friday at 8:30, where we have actual numbers to put into the board.
Okay. All right. Then, VP of marketing, growing the practice team pipeline, getting known and trusted in the community, acquisition strategies. Who's got that responsibility?
That's me, Chuck.
Okay. Chuck, why don't you share the idea that you got from looking at the book with the team?
Okay. All right. So, team, this morning what I did was we're going to have eventually a team happy hour with an estate planning practice. They've agreed on their side to meet and just to hang out with us. If you guys are willing, and we're just going to kind of share in detail what we do here, because their group is about, I think they're like 10 people that work in that office. Okay. And so they're all willing to, I spoke with their top guy. And so we're just going to share ideas, get to know each other so that they become comfortable with us. In bringing us referrals, and we'll be comfortable with them with bringing them referrals. And so I'm gonna try to do that with a West Palm estate planning person as well that I know up there. So I got that out the book, and I just kind of tried it out this morning, and the other side was willing. So that's one of the things that we're gonna do. Hopefully between now and the end of the year, but if not January.
Call them personal introductions. They can be referrals among yourselves, but with them, personal introductions. That goes down a lot easier. Okay? Chuck?
Gotcha.
Personal introductions. All right. So now you got your big Zoom call. You're going to rehearse. You're going to go around the table. Gail, describe what you do for the team. What's your role?
I don't know now. I feel like I'm not sure what that is.
What did you think your role was?
Before it was planning.
Okay, so your role is you're one of the key relationship managers on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, good to meet you. My name is Gail Walden. I'm one of the key relationship managers on the team. I'm responsible for implementing the elements of our concierge practice. We look at the agendas. We look at planning strategies for clients and asset allocation. Okay.
Peggy. So that's
Wait, okay, go ahead, finish, Gail.
So I think the signals got crossed with Gail and Michael. So Michael's in charge of branding, but right. He also does our plans. But the director of planning, correct me if I'm wrong, the director of planning doesn't do the plans. The director just makes sure that the plans are getting done. Is that correct?
Exactly. Okay. That's the accountable person.
Gotcha.
Each of you are key relationship managers on the team. Chuck, Peggy, and Gail. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Peggy, what's your role on the team?
I'm now playing implement the plan. So I'm the one that works with clients, educating them and helping them with all their products and making sure that we're prepared for them.
Okay. So think of something like, look, I am one of the key relationship managers on the team. I work with high net worth clients in the area of planning and portfolio management and making sure that we're delivering our value proposition and promise to provide a concierge kind of service to each of our clients. Work with a limited number of high net worth relationships. Bingo. Hand it off. Get your stories down, folks. Okay.
Yep.
So if I was going to a law firm and there's going to be, well, look, you know, I handle the civil litigation practice for our partnership. And in that regards, we look at personal injuries, that somebody has been negligent to a client. We follow it through to completion. Next guy, I do criminal defense work. When clients have been wrongly convicted of a crime, that's where I get involved in their defense. Next person says, for affluent clients, I work with, clients who have trust issues, estate planning needs. We create trust, living trust, and we try to work with experts in the areas of portfolio management, asset allocation, and financial planning. Bingo. Okay. Now, they may not know how to do it that way. Your job is to help them do that. Pull them aside. You know, it might be helpful when we bring a client to you that each of your members has their story down. And it should go something like, boom, boom, boom. Help them. You'll get clients for life when you do that. And Chuck, you then go in and you introduce your concept. Bill, one of the things we do is we give our clients a 90-day free look as part of our introductions process. We give them an opportunity to be treated as if they were a client. And then within 2 weeks to 90 days, they determine if they want to work with us. Okay. Well, and you're one of the key relationship managers on the team. Okay. Call yourself senior partner, key relationship manager, however you want to do that. Okay. Now there's a pipeline sheet in there on page 97 for each advisor. Take a look at that. Team communication and business planning. Daily stand-up meeting. Have two weekly meetings where you're discussing the game board or the scoreboard. Right now you're doing that once a week. Have a monthly meeting, which is a two-hour planning session with each of the five-star VPs reporting on their activities. And look, roles and responsibilities may shift on the team. On a quarterly basis, and on your monthly meeting, each team member has a folder. In your quarterly meeting, you have a high half a day five star where each team member is reporting on progress and making adjustments. And on an annual basis, one day plan with the five star VPs presenting the plans for the year. Okay. So that everybody is buying into your business plan and strategy. Okay. Okay. I think that concludes the time for today. Let's go around the horn. Gail, what did you value for today?
I guess the forecasting tool, having the opportunity to see that.
Okay. But tell me, how does it impact you? How are you going to think about your business as a result of having, you know, gone through it?
Well, that's one of the things that I'm spending more time on is the details in my numbers. So I think this is only going to add more value to me knowing exactly where I am. Like you asked me what my number was and I really didn't know. So.
Okay. Don't be embarrassed. There's a lot of people like that. But what I want you to start thinking here, Gail, is you're like an entrepreneur working with a team of other entrepreneurs. So if I throw out the supermarket analogy, you got to know what's in inventory. You got to know when you're running low on something and when you need to order. When you got to know how much money did we make today? You know, do we need another employee or no? You know, what are we doing? You need to know your numbers. You need to know your key metrics. How am I measuring you? How many plans did you do or implement? How much revenue did you bring in? How many prospects in your pipeline? How many new clients did you get? Okay. That's how you grow. You're keeping track. You know, if you were a track runner and you were running the quarter mile, and if there was no stopwatch, how do you know you're making improvements from week to week? Got to keep time. Got to keep track. Okay. Peggy, what did you value?
I really liked your tool there, your forecasting tool.
Okay.
Because I think that'll really help. It works a couple ways. It can motivate you because you can actually see real numbers, not just numbers that you're coming up with on an Excel sheet. It actually works with it. So we can get a better idea of the numbers we have to hit. And when they're on paper, they just seem to work a lot better. So real goals with real numbers.
Right. Make some realism to this. Chuck, what did you value today?
Well, I think the most important thing for me was that everybody got a chance to see how valuable time is and how valuable, how much more valuable one account is than another account.
Right.
And I think that's going to go a long way.
Okay. All right. Michael, what did you value?
What I valued was the description of what our roles are. So I think it's something, I think you put that in perspective. Just being able to, you know, reiterate that enthusiastically. But I think that's something that I definitely need to work on, especially when I'm calling these clients, using the scheduling tool. I get asked, who are you, a lot. And I think that's something I used to stumble upon, but I'm kind of getting a handle of it now just by dialing. So I think I need to kind of pinpoint and nail down to how I want it to sound. And
okay. What we're doing here, team, is, I want you to think like this. I want you to think about more than survival. That if you don't make it happen, it doesn't happen, you don't get paid. Back in my day, they put you on full commissions in 6 months. I'm not saying that was the right thing to do necessarily, but if you weren't hitting it in 6 months, you're gone. So what I want you to do is think about the numbers that you're capable of doing and get out there and really get it done. You're so capable. I like you. I'd work with you. Okay. So with that being said, I think that's enough for one day to absorb. And if you have any questions, and Chuck, you're always sending me your emails, so, keep doing that. And I'll talk to you on our next call.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, Curtis.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Curtis.
Take care. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.